What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Three into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the door.
Ready to make an entrance,
so back on up.
Cause you know we about to rip shit up. Give it the microphone first
so I can bust like a bubble.
Compton and Long Beach together,
now you know you in trouble.
Ain't nothing but a G thing,
baby.
Too loped out, when we stop it?
Crazy. Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey,
what's
man.
Welcome back to the No Chasing Podcast. I'm
back to the lecture. Hey.
I'm Tim Shot the Wrong Zoo.
I'm Ricky Shucks.
I'm Nikki Blades.
And today, I'm gonna hit you with the intro, bro. Don't
okay,
even
okay. trip. I'm jumping the gun.
It's all good. Today we got one of my boys' special guests. I mean, not my boy, like we don't hang out, but my boy, like, you know, yeah. I've known this man for a long time. I fuck with what you do, bro. Stand-up comedian. I remember we've done some YouTube sketches together a long-ass time ago.
Yeah.
You got a new comedy album about to drop. You here? We're going to talk to you about a whole bunch of shit, bro.
A whole bunch of shit. Just to be clear, listen, I admire Tim. Me and Tim fuck with each other on a very mutual level. I know he's making it sound like we ain't in each other's lives. Okay. But no,
we've kicked it in everything.
Right,
we had got some honey kettle chicken.
All kind of shit.
Tim be forgetting who he hangs out with.
I do.
It's okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But make some noise for Jay Snow Pro.
Yay!
Jay Snow, what's up, dog? First of all, how you been?
I've been well, man. I've been going through a lot of different, you know, transformative moments in life as of late.
Okay.
But mostly just lately trying to balance the grind with me time.
Mm.
You know, doing the self-exploration journey and, you know, bringing people together, helping out the fam and connecting with motherfuckers more, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
All of it.
That's important.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. Well, check this out. I mean, real quick, before we get into your whole transformative process and your evolution and what's been going on.
Right.
For those of y'all who may not be familiar, who is this Jay Snow?
Who is you? What you do?
Oh, man.
Tell
us about yourself. People.
For those that don't know, I'm a lot of things, man. I'm a creator first, you know, writer, director, actor. I've made movies, sketches. This is how me and Tim's relationship manifested through the sketch life and YouTube, is, you know, as well as a few other things.
Shout out to the enigma that is Deshaun Raw.
Deshaun Raw, my guy. He was a conduit for this relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been a creative journey, bro, of like sketches, then writing for TV, doing stand up and making films to sort of express issues that I deal with in others. And now music and comedy, you know?
Cool.
So, yeah, that's a brief 100-mile view of it all. Hopefully you all caught up.
Yeah, you got the Compton College hat on. We filmed a sketch in Compton.
Yo, yeah. I didn't think you would come to Compton.
What?
Oh, God.
I was in Paramount right over
the bridge. I know. I didn't know my history. I was like, yo, he's from Paramount. Of course he would come to Compton. It's like, we're neighbors.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
It's literally right there.
Yeah, but when you did at the time, it was like, it was such a big deal to me because I had just started YouTube, right? And like, I had started like spamming people to like collab with them and whatnot in the beginning, and Deshaun was one of those people, right? And he watched one of my sketches in the beginning. He was like, yo, this is dope, but you got to get your numbers up. All right, I'll holla at you, right? And then later on, I got my numbers up, and then me and Deshaun connected, and then he like connected us, and I was like, yo, this is a big deal, like, because you know, you YouTube royalty, you
nice,
feel me? And
it.
So like I watch you guys all the time, including Deshaun, and so it was just a special thing to see you pull up to Compton to do a sketch, yo. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is dope.
We be in Compton sometimes.
Yeah. It was fun.
No, he got a pass.
Right.
There's a reason why he's been out there before.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You know what's funny is when I pulled up to do that sketch, I was leasing the little drop-top Audi that I had.
Oh, yeah.
And it was either you or Deshaun who was like, you pulling up to Compton in this white convertible. And it was my only car at the time. Like, not gonna lie, in my head, I was like, damn, I wish I had a not as nice car.
That shit's not that bad in Compton.
No, it's not.
It is, but not that bad.
No, it depends on where you're at in Compton.
True.
Where we were filming at was not a nice part of Compton.
Yeah, we was by, like, Alondra and Greenleaf. We was on the east side. And so, like, his car stood out like a fucking sore thumb on that street. Everything is all old in 1980s, 90s. Mm-hmm. And there's this nice, pretty drop-top Audi. It's white.
But that's how real I am, you know, homie.
real oblivious.
What did you have the top down?
No.
Okay, I was going to say, if you roll through with the top down, that's a whole nother level.
Yeah, nah.
He said, I'm confident, but not that.
Waving at people.
But yeah, man, it's good to see you. I remember I was hyped when I saw you at the Wild 'N Out workshops.
Yeah, man.
That was cool.
That was an experience, bro. Like, I can only imagine, like, the different stories you guys got through those workshops. Because that one workshop for me was like, what the fuck?
Mm.
The intensity that is in that room, mm-hmm. when they're like having people go through these auditions, mm-hmm. and the Wild Styles and the games and whatnot, the pressure is crazy.
So if you guys don't know, before we would film a season of Wild 'N Out, right? They invite a bunch of would-be cast members to go through like damn near 2 weeks of, mm-hmm. like comedy boot camp, right? Workshops is what they call it, right? So they would have all these new cast members and potential cast members in a small-ass room. We play these very, like, all the games they play on Wild 'N Out, but also a lot of games. It almost felt like this. Remember how you used to study really hard for, like, the SATs before college or whatever? You take these fucking, I did. I low-key feel like the classes leading up to college in high school were harder than some of my college classes.
Yeah,
you feel
for
me?
Sure.
And so it felt like that. They run you through this rigorous-ass process for 2 weeks during boot camp, and then when you actually film, it's like, way more chill.
Completely different. Yeah.
So these workshops are so intense. And I remember specifically, I'm not going to name which influencer it was, but like Niall, super producer over at Wild 'N Out and MTV, making this comedian do a joke over and over and over again in front of everybody until it was funny because his delivery was off.
Damn.
He was like, do it again. No, you not. You keep looking down. Do it again. Show some stage presence. Had him run it, till it was uncomfortable.
It was crazy in that room. And I was just like, yo, this is a grown man.
Yeah.
Like, y'all just going to let this happen and he can do this?
Anytime we've seen, like, the girls, you know, sometimes the Wild 'N Out girls get the chance to go to the camps and you watch their process and all that. I feel like sometimes if you're an influencer or you do something different, and then you step into the workshop, I feel like they come for you 10 times harder. And everybody in there is doing that because they're looking at you. Oh, like, you already think you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know. And I feel like that's probably what I was doing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little stigma when you walk in, when the little Instagrammers, Viners would come through. Yeah. Well, how was your process before we get into your now shit? Tell us about that shit.
Okay, so that was a crazy time for me, bro. Like, I didn't get to do Wild 'N Out that season. Yeah. This was like 2016, I want to say,
mm-hmm.
right? And I did the audition, booked the show. 2 weeks before the workshop, I have a crisis. I have a sickle cell crisis. It's a blood disorder. We can get into that later.
Yeah.
So I had a crisis. It was bad. I ended up in the hospital for like a week.
You couldn't even talk when I was
and I lost my voice.
Oh.
Literally, my vocal cord collapsed.
Ooh, wow.
And like, I started to sound like Mickey Mouse just regularly
yes.
talking all of this. And so it was like I had a decision: don't go to the workshop and just quit the show, or shoot my shot and go to the workshop and make a fool of my fucking self with this stupid fucking voice at the workshop. So I went to a Wild 'N Out workshop when it was like, now could really yell at you like, no, do it a fucking game with the voice.
Yeah.
Going up against Carlos, Chico, DC,
oh,
Tim.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Bro, they ate me alive. But like, I had a heart for showing up. And because I showed up and I was funny,
mm-hmm.
they were like, yo, we can't legally let you do the show because you have a medical issue. Mm. But if you want to still, you know, be a part of the show, you can still be a part of the show. We can figure it out.
Right.
And that's kind of how that happened. And now my relationship with Wilding Out is, you know, I just contribute and like sort of help out in that way, which is fine with me because there's so much other things that like I get to focus on. And it kind of worked out better that way for me in a way. You know what I'm saying? At the time, I hated it.
I bet. I mean, that's tough when you feel like you got this opportunity.
Yeah,
and
man.
All of a sudden, life, the universe hit you with something crazy.
And a lot of people wouldn't even do that and make them, you know, going into something knowing that you're probably not going to do that well and you're not at your best. Because most people just decide not to.
They're
like, I don't want to make myself look stupid, which also can stop you from growth. And with you going to that, it created more opportunities for you.
The doctors were like, yo, chill. Like, your voice is fucked up. Chill. And I did the workshop, bro. Trying to talk and roast niggas. Like, I could have fucked up the other vocal cord. And then getting this one back was like a it was a whole fucking process. That video's on my YouTube somewhere where they had to like inject collagen.
What?
Through my Adam's apple into my vocal cord while I was awake and just standing
While you were awake?
Yeah.
Why?
Unnumbed? Not numbed?
They put like the fucking Novocaine that they put on your gums right here on my neck and was like, all right, be still.
Wow.
Whoa.
Bro, it was on video. It's on my YouTube.
And that's how you get your vocal cord back?
They squeezed that shit in there. Bro, it burned all the way up to here.
I bet.
And I couldn't talk. I sound like I smoked 20 packs of cigarettes in a day, right? For like a whole day. And then it started to come back. And boom, now, you know, my shit's back.
Sheesh.
Let me tell you, bro. When I found out about all of this, I felt like such a fucking dick. Because... Before knowing, ran into you at James Davis, like, pre-party for Hood Adjacent.
Yeah. Mm.
And you were talking like that. And I left like, what a weird character Snow is doing. Why? He's committed, too. Like, there's no camera. Why is this nigga talking to me like that? But I had no idea what was
going
on.
Out of all the voices to choose, you chose that one?
Oh.
Damn, you a dick.
I felt like such a dick.
Oh my god,
I got it from all angles, man. Pause. It was, it was an ordeal, and that shit lasted for 3 months. Bro.
Wow,
That's crazy.
It was wild.
I was, you know, I mean, I think it's dope that like you were still able to contribute as a writer because I feel like your writing is on point. You know what I'm saying? Like especially when you were doing the YouTube shit. He had this sketch. It was like one of my favorite sketches, where you were, where your girl in the video couldn't. Decide where to eat.
Yeah.
And then you remember this one?
Yeah, of course.
And then it's like, so it's like a whole fucking like the house gets raided, and they're about to get robbed, and then fucking what is it? The gunman is like
he's just, like what? Yeah, I'm like, listen, we're about to go eat. Take what you want.
Yeah.
And he's like, what you gonna eat first?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. I'm like, need to tell these motherfuckers what we're gonna eat. You'll watch it.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Don't tell it.
Okay, I got it. It's fucking great. It's fucking great. Yeah.
So, not having your voice for 3 months, you get it back. What is the first thing you're doing when you get your voice back?
I booked Joking Off.
Joking Off.
Yeah.
It was a show on MTV, short lived. It was, was it on MTV 2 or MTV?
It was MTV 2, I think. Yeah.
It's kind of like, it was like a diet wilding out. But it was like it was less roasty and more gamey. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was a lot more white people.
Okay.
MTV
2.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It was interesting. It was I think they only did like 3 seasons and I think I booked the 3rd and that was an experience. It was fun. You know, I got on like 2 episodes, but you know, fate happened yet again.
What happened?
Dog, this is okay. So now I feel like I got to tell a story. It's
please,
like,
please.
So sickle cell is a blood disorder that limits the oxygen and iron in your blood. Essentially, what it means is like my cells are a bit mutated. Where yours are like circles, mine's are C's, you know, so it's crippling in my blood, right? But like, it has a bunch of dumbass symptoms. Like, I can't overexert myself. You know, my blood doesn't last as long as yours, so it deteriorates faster. Overexertion is a trigger to like pain crises, right? Cold is why I'm always layered up. The AC in here too long, I'm gonna be out this bitch. You know what I'm saying? But this time in particular, I got flown out to New York to do Joking Off, and I was like really into working out at this time. I was like, yo, I gotta get my weight up. I'm starting to be on TV. I done booked a show.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And obviously it's really fucking hard for me to gain weight. But anyway, I get up to like 180 and I'm on the treadmill one night before I'm about to do my episode, right? Yeah. The night before I do my episode, I'm on the treadmill and I do a mile.
Okay.
Right? I step off the treadmill and my entire body is in excruciating pain.
Oh, shit.
Bro, I had to crawl back up to my hotel room.
God damn.
And then go to the hospital and then lie to MTV about this. Drug myself enough to where I feel good enough to come to the taping.
You lying.
I swear to you, bro.
You went to the hospital that night and then went to film the next day?
I went to the hospital that night and the doctor was like, yo, we can't discharge you. I was like, I got a show to do. And they were like, well, you can go, but we won't recommend it or sign anything that says you can go.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool, I'm out.
Yeah.
Give me the drugs, though. Anyway. And so I'm like popping perks. You know what I'm saying? I'm drinking water. I'm trying to go over some jokes that I'm going to do and shit. And then we start taping and you could just see it.
Yeah.
You can see it on my face. I'm hearing it from the producers. They're like, are you okay?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And they're like, are you sure, though? Because I'm like limping and shit a little bit. Like, bro, I tried so hard to just
thug it out.
Yeah, yeah, thug it out, bro. But it's like when I tell you that pain is crazy, bro, it's crazy.
Sheesh.
And it's just is what it is. I'm not trying to make this a sob story because obviously I still pulled up to the shit. And like I don't want to let the shit limit me, and I never did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But like it intervened every time, bro.
Wow.
I you know, with MTV in particular. Mm-hmm. But like when I do my shit, when I do a film, when I did Flawed, easy breezy. When I write for other shows and I have fun, easy breezy. When I'm like, I don't know what it is
but
about
as soon
MTV.
As MTV calls, you're like, oh, I'm not feeling real good.
My body's like, nah, bruh.
This don't happen to me on BET.
Right. I had a ball at the last.
There's nothing worse than going to a doctor's appointment expecting to be the center of attention, and then your doctor seems like they have better things to do and better places to be. You know, instead of listening to you intently, asking you how you feel and help you along, the doctor is just checking their watch, ready to get out of there. Well, on ZocDoc, you'll find quality doctors who focus on you and listen to you to prioritize your care. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. So no more playing doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor that you haven't even met yet. Millions of people use ZocDoc's free app to find and book a doctor in their neighborhood who is patient reviewed and fits their needs and schedule just right. So go to ZocDoc.com/Tim and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/Tim. ZocDoc.com/Tim.
The universe is trying
to shoot my shot at
you.
Chloe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You went a little viral with the Chloe Bailey. What happened with that?
Yeah, I want to put some cinnamon on them. Yeah.
I mean, you know. They're great. They're great. They're great.
We all agree.
She's talented, man. I believe she's going places. And I believe we could go places together.
Man, I agree.
You know?
As long as it's not with MTV.
As long as it's not with MTV. Right, yeah.
Because I don't know. But for some reason, the universe is trying to protect you from the Viacom gods, man.
Yo, man. On God it is, bro. On God. Well, shit, let's see what other networks got to offer,
right?
You know, that are easy breezy.
Well, shit, man. When is your comedy album drop? Tell us about it.
Okay, so
how'd it come about?
It honestly was just spur of the moment type of thing. Again, it's transformative time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I got to a point to where I just really stopped caring about like trying to be in one particular lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I still had all of these ideas for other things. You know, we're creators, right? Like, as a creator, you're technically like an alchemist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And as a writer, I feel like say like you play basketball, right? Mm-hmm. If you're really good at basketball, you might want to fuck around and play baseball one day.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to play football one day. You might want to play soccer. And nobody's going to ask you, yo, what the fuck are you trying to do? You trying to go pro?
Mm-hmm.
They just going to let you play.
That's facts, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So as a writer, I write films.
Mm-hmm.
I write TV. I write sketches. I write poems.
Mm-hmm.
now why the fuck not write music?
Gay? No, I'm just playing.
You know, right?
It's gay?
Nah, for real. Like, I write, and I like to write different things, and I feel like this is something that I've always wanted to do. Like, we did a sketch together that was, like, making a fake song.
Great,
you know,
sketch.
What I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I've been meaning to TikTokify that.
Dude, that would be brilliant, actually. And, like, I've always had a knack for writing music and listening to music. I always did it in a goofy way, though. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I challenged myself. I was just like, what will it sound like if I actually tried to write something that I cared about or was a little serious or even personal?
Yeah.
And this is what it is. It became this album that's called The Truth Saves Time.
Okay.
And that is essentially the message I want that to be for whoever listens to it.
Mm.
I feel like there's a song on there for everyone.
Okay.
You know, no matter who you are, where you are. And there's a bit of comedy on there, too. So it balances it out. It's it's me in both of my worlds, or at least two of them, you know?
So, yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I actually got a chance to listen to the album. And you do comedy. I was expecting outlandish, funny shit. And then I'm listening. I'm like, oh, this is like real life stuff with bits of comedic bars here and there. But it's mostly like real fucking music, right?
Oh, shit.
When you were writing, did you feel pressured to add comedy, or was it just like, I'm just being me and sometimes shit's gonna be funny?
Yeah, I think it's the latter for sure. Like, I even when I'm trying to be serious, yo, it just comes out funny. There was a time I had a show in New York at Caroline's, right? I was ready for this show, bro. It like worked 3 months to get this shit right. Flew my family out there for it and everything. They heckled every comedian, every last one of them, bro. And, like, I was hot on stage. And I'm telling them, like, yo, what the fuck? Shut up. We taping this. Everybody dying laughing. I'm hot. I'm almost to tears.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers are like, oh, this shit is hilarious. So, bro, I feel like everything that I do is going to have a comedy undertone to it.
Right.
So I just sort of lean into it. I don't really reject it or push it away. And, yeah, some of the bars are a little bit goofy. But I feel like that's the best way to deliver any type of information or message, is to sort of encapsulate it in something, you know?
I feel that.
Well,
you know,
listening to you guys describe the album, it doesn't sound like a comedy album.
Right.
At all. It sounds like you just have – that's your personality and your delivery.
Yeah.
Listening to you and Rick talk about it, I'm like, this doesn't sound like what I would think if I heard a comedy album. Because I've heard some. And I'm like, it lives in its lane.
Right.
I can't apply this anywhere else. And maybe this might be funny to use on a video one day, but I'm not going to listen to this on repeat.
Yeah.
But when I'm hearing this, if there's something I could relate to, I wouldn't necessarily even think it's just in that genre. It might be limiting just comedy, calling it a comedy album.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a comedy album. I would say it's a hip hop album with comedy.
With some funny shit.
Some funny shit in it. Right. And like, that's part of the reason I did add the comedy.
Yeah.
Was because it was just four songs at first. It was just going to be an EP.
Mm-hmm.
Four feelings, four beats, low stakes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And people started, everybody that I played it for started to try to compare it to something. It sounds like this. It sounds kind of like that. Are you trying to be like this? Like, I'm trying to be Jay Snow.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
Right.
And I feel like the comedy solidified that.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, don't try to compare me to anybody. Like, these jokes, you haven't heard anybody tell. You haven't heard him tell them this way.
Yeah.
And also, the music is right behind that.
Yeah.
That's dope, man. That's definitely that you were able to come to that, because I related in a sense where when I was like putting out more music, I felt like I can't be funny at all in this shit.
Right.
Because people are going to think he's just a comedy rapper, right? So I tried to keep it as separate as possible.
Yeah.
Now that I'm kind of doing everything under just my name,
yeah,
I'm like, let me just let myself say some goofy shit because I want to say some goofy shit.
Let myself be myself.
Yeah, right. Instead of the whole stigma of like a rapper, right? So it's like now I'm writing new shit. Before, when I come up with something, I'm like, nah, this is too goofy. This is too funny. I'm like, nah. Let me let that live. This
leave
is
it,
me.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's like, it shouldn't have to be completely separate. It's like, motherfuckers can be serious and funny at the same time.
Yeah.
And they can coexist.
Listen to 21 Savage. He's one of the funniest motherfuckers on beats, bro. Like,
right.
She swallowed all my kids. She's a bad babysitter. Yeah. Like, this nigga's funny, bro.
I was just
and he's the serious motherfucker at the same time.
Well, if DJ Khaled can literally scream, I'm looking down at my wrist, and it's a new watch, and it's playing on the radio, are you kidding me? All he said, that's it?
People just be saying what they feel, bro.
Yeah, but nobody would ever say he's a comedian or he's trying to be funny.
Exactly.
That's why I loved fucking 2 Chainz so much. Because 2 Chainz shit used to crack me up,
right?
Just the shit he would say, like, fucking... room service. I'm trying to get a womb service. Whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this man is hilarious.
Yo, for the longest, I kept saying this line: put a fat rabbit on a Craftmatic.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck is a Craftmatic, right? And then I heard a commercial for it, and it's a bed.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this nigga's smart, bro, and he's funny as hell.
The Craftmatic is a bed.
It's a bed. So I was like, what the fuck?
So what's a fat? Just a fat rabbit?
Maybe that's her ass.
Yeah, that's her ass.
A bunny?
Or cooch, whatever. Who knows?
Sure. But with rapping and with you guys making music and writing, you become creative and you have to find your lane. So when you're hearing a lot of these artists, even if I'm listening to like Meg Thee Stallion, one song says, put his nutty buddy in my fudge round. I was like, oh, you so nasty.
Man.
But realistically, if I'm listening to a singer or a rapper, that's funny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is not, but it's not comedy, which is what's dope about what you both do, because you're putting your personalities into something that most people wouldn't necessarily think you would be that lane.
Speaking of dope rappers who just are themselves, they let it fly. If it's funny, it's funny. If it's not, it's not. Y'all should check out Chunk Dirty. It's this rap group, man. They got some shit.
Yo, you know what's crazy? Quick side note about Chunk Dirty. You familiar with Chunk Dirty?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Chunk Dirty. So, Chunk Dirty go hard.
When we used to do those videos, right, and then we recorded a little EP, a little 5-track EP as Chunk Dirty. Oh, just in case you don't know, Chunk Dirty, those are actually me and Rick, portrayed by me and Rick, if y'all just happen to be fans of Chunk Dirty.
Just in case you didn't know.
So they are our whack rapper alter egos, right?
Dope rapper.
Dope rapper, yes.
Well, here's the thing.
We were trying
to be whack. Like, there were points, because I was just writing the dumbest shit, but Rick was struggling at times in the studio, because he would write something, I'd be like, Rick, that's too good.
I'm like, shit, all right. What would a stupid person say? What would a stupid person say?
So we were trying to be real basic, but kind of funny, and I listen to that shit now, I'm like, yo.
Like, this fits.
It goes hard.
Right. Sometimes it happened like that. Like, I remember me and Juke, my boy, he's a producer, we made the Young Garbage thing. Literally, a trash can that raps and doesn't say anything, and it went crazy, and people love this shit, and they wanted more, and I'm like, yo, I'm not about to be doing this for the rest of my fucking life. Like, you know that little alien that's on Lil Momo or whatever on Instagram? He used to be with all the celebrities or whatever.
Yes.
Somebody carries this alien around.
And makes him party.
Interesting.
And bitches love him.
And they love him.
Bitches love this alien.
Wow. I was like, in another lifetime, man, maybe this would be it, but like, I don't know. Young Garbage was just a one-off for me.
Man, speaking of rap, funny, and sketches, when we did that sneak dissing sketch, right? So he wrote this skit where rappers are in the studio, but while they're spitting their bars, they're like slyly dissing the people in the same room as them. And so, okay, so we dropped that skit, right? And then it's called sneak dissing. And then like a week later, I did a cypher with a bunch of rappers, you know what I'm saying? And there's one line in it where I say, tell a chick in a tank top that her titties are too small. That was just one of the lines, right? But in the fucking cypher was a female rapper in a tank top.
Oh, no.
Who didn't have big titties.
That's hilarious.
And everybody was in the comments like, yo, Tim is sneak dissing her. Tim is sneak dissing her. Yo, like, yo, I just came to skin Tim sneak dissing. I was like, no, that wasn't my intention.
I didn't even look
at her titties because like, they were so small.
I couldn't see them.
That's a coincidence.
My bad.
But right. When you guys are writing, isn't writing comedy a little bit like writing bars sometimes? Or am I completely off with that? Mind you, I do not write anything. I'm just a fan of the music.
You're not far off of it, though. Like, I feel like there is a rhythm to writing comedy, right?
Like, you're delivering.
People say jokes work in threes. You know, there's a format and structure there. And, yeah, I think there is, like, some some, I keep referencing poetry, but it's, mm-hmm. it is poetry. Mm-hmm. Writing a joke and then writing a song. It's the same thing, technically.
And I'll always tell people, too, man, like, people that will throw tomato emojis at a dad joke will throw flame emojis at the exact same shit if it's said as a bar. And yeah. I always give this example one time on Twitter where someone was like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I hate going to the dentist, right? So I replied, I was like, yeah, my dentist is mean. He always hurts my feelings, right? People throwing tomato emojis at me and shit, right? And I'm like, okay, but check this out. If I was like, if Wayne or anybody on a beat was like, yeah, something, something, my girl too sweet. We always, no, I love kicking it with my girl. We just be chilling, but she too sweet. She hurts my feelings. Some shit like that. I'm like, oh, that's a bar.
Right.
But it's just a dad joke. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. When it's in rap, it's a double entendre.
Right. Wow. Exactly. Yeah. Like, wow.
People only care about your feelings when you're on a beat.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much. Mm-hmm. That's why Drake is so successful. He put all his feelings on beats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine people just tweeting that shit.
Oh my God.
Sensitive ass. Get out of here.
It would look like my Twitter. They'd be like, Jesus. God damn emotional
That's
ass.
Funny.
Right. There we go. Another sad post from this.
I love it. Yeah. And I do it on purpose. That's I lean into that. I love that. I think it's hilarious. Because every song I listen to, it's the same shit. I'm thinking that. So I tweet it, and I had somebody tell me, like, you're so sad. I'm like, you have no idea. You're listening to the same song.
Yeah.
I just tweeted
shit.
It. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a week where I was like, Blade seems to be going through something.
I was really going through it.
that was real.
I'm so sorry, guys. And I have to write sometimes. I'm just kidding. Just know that, right? I'm turning my account into a sad Twitter.
It's always the LOL after the sentence. I'm about to kill myself. LOL. Like, you know.
I get text messages from these guys like, hey, knock the shit off. You got to work next week.
Yeah, exactly. We still got a contract.
Hey, look, I care about you and all, but keep that shit on Twitter. Right? Right.
I'll throw like a golf video out like, haha. Look, I'm doing things.
I'm joking.
Then it's like, oh, God, Blaze is golfing a little too much. She going through something again.
Did she just pick up a new hobby? What the hell?
Do you address the sickle cell on the album?
Not really. Mm-hmm. I kind of leave that to film because I think it's just a better medium for, like, explaining the nuance things that go on with dealing with a chronic illness or an invisible disability, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not many people know how you get treated in the emergency room or what it's like dating with that. You know what I'm saying? That was the whole purpose of the film Flawed on everybodygotflaws.com. Mm-hmm. You can check it out for free. I'll put it on my YouTube soon, but it's essentially a film about a guy with sickle cell who's afraid to tell a girl he has this illness until it's triggered on their first date.
Wow.
Right? And so I tell people that and they're like, oh, that sounds fucking heavy or whatever. But then you watch the film and it's like, it's actually funny.
Right.
And informative and whatnot and beautifully shot by my friend Oliver. And, yeah, I didn't really address it on the album because I did it on the film. And also am trying to, like, the short Flawed is essentially abbreviated version of the feature that I want to do.
Word.
I wrote
word.
A feature, and it's essentially a bigger, scaled-up version of the same story with more characters. And that's the goal for that.
What is it? Man, tell me about this, man. That's, like, that got me curious. Mm-hmm. What was it like trying to date with, like, sickle cell and having to introduce that into everything?
For a long time, I didn't tell people, bro. Yeah. Like, I didn't bring it up. I wouldn't even, like, bring it up to friends, you know? Mm-hmm. Definitely not in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
But it got to a point to where it just, I couldn't hide it. You know, like, you know, like, I'm cold now. You know how hard it is to get bitches with goosebumps? You know?
Just tell them they gave you the goosebumps every time.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the thought, right?
Instead of her asking for your jacket, you're asking for hers. Like,
that's the problem. Girls in L.A. love leaving the house without a jacket. You know what I'm saying? I'm risking my life when I get this shit away.
And yo, how ironic, though. Your name is Jay Snow, but you can't be cold.
I can't be cold, fam. Wow. You know how fucked up my head is because of that? You know how much I love snow? You know how much I love looking at that shit? Home Alone was a big-ass tease for me. I'm like, this is what your house look like? But no, so it's tough because of stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I can't give girls my jacket all the time. Or say, like, my girl gets sick.
Oh,
you know, I get
sick
very easily sometimes. And so, like, coming to console and bring soup and cuddle with you and you sneezing and coughing and shit. Like, I'm about to die, bitch. And you don't even know.
And she's texting you. You don't even care about me.
You don't even care. I get all of that. It's really what I had to learn was that, one, I needed to be honest about it. Two, I needed to be honest because that honesty will help me discover who really is with the shits, who's down to step up and like not even do shit. Like I don't, obviously I don't really need anybody to do things for me. I just need you to understand that I'm different.
Yeah.
You can't come to this relationship with me like you did with the last 3, 4, or 5 guys. And you can't expect the same things.
Yeah.
So just approach me differently. And the ones that understood that were people that I like, you know, stayed in my life forever, whether the relationship was good or bad.
Word.
That honesty saves you a lot of time.
Truth saves you time.
Truth saves you time. My sister, she has a postpartum cardiomyopathy. And I remember when she was going through this, she was going through a divorce, and then she was thinking about dating later in life. She was like, no one's going to want to be with me. That's her thought process. She's like, who's going to want to deal with this? Who's going to want to carry this baggage with me? I'm in and out of the hospital. How am I ever going to find love? She has been with her man for 4 years now. House, family.
Wow.
I mean, he's the most amazing man. And he loves her for her, has been to every appointment, has been just there for the family.
Yeah.
And, you know, my sister has kids. He loves those babies, has a great relationship with their father, has built this home. And she thought she was never going to find love because she was worried about this and then put herself out there, was honest right away. And he was like, I like you for you.
I love that.
And I'm here for whatever it is that we have to endure together. And 4 years later, I mean, I'm happy that he's in her life because he's in our life too.
Yeah.
So it's a blessing. And when you let people know, you'll find the real ones.
Exactly. It weeds everything out.
There should be like, is there like a Christian mingle for like, is there like a sickle cell mingle?
No, it used to be Black Planet, you know? I think that went away. So we're going to have to, I don't know, we're going to have to do it. We're going to have to link it. What is it? I'm going to make one. I'm gonna call it Cellular.
I was going to say Super Meat. Sick Dating.
Super Sick. Yeah, Super Sick. Super Sick. Super Sick Dates.
Super Sick Love. Super Sick Love.
Super Sick Love. Wow. People are going to be real confused when they get on that side.
Right.
So wait, so only Black people get sickle cell, right?
That's,
is that what they say?
That's what makes me understand that God has a great sense of humor. Because it's truly Blacks and Latin Americans are primarily the two people that get sickle cell. And like in Africa, sickle cell was almost like a benefit, right? Like if you have sickle cell, you can't get malaria.
Oh.
And malaria is all over fucking Africa.
Right.
So it makes sense they're here. It's like, nah, fam, this shit fucks you up with the cold weather and a bunch of different things. But yeah, so it's predominantly Black people. That's why, like, when, you know, I'm in the hospital, motherfuckers think I'm in there because of COVID. And I'm like, no, it's sickle cell. You know, I only support Black illnesses, you know? And so, yeah, it sucks that it's that because you can't really get too much media on it. That's insane. That's the main reason I'm trying to make the films and I'm talking about it and this, that, and the other. Plus, a lot of men who have it don't want to be vulnerable because niggas don't like to be vulnerable. So,
And you talking about it is going to help a lot of people out. The invisible disease, when you look at someone, you have no idea what they're going through.
Right.
But when you start discussing it, you'll have other people talk about it as well. And then hopefully they can create more conversations to make it more normal. You guys shouldn't have to keep everything in constantly in fear of someone judging you just because you're expressing yourself. It's your life.
Let's turn the AC down too, y'all.
It is. That's why I changed up. There was another outfit that was supposed to be on this episode. I came in here, had to change the outfit real quick. We had wardrobe malfunctions right away.
If I'm cold, I know you.
That's what happened. That's what I want to happen, bro. Like, you know what's funny is after I screamed Flawed in the theater, everybody who was there, everybody who saw it afterwards would be like, yo, you good? You need a jacket? You sure you gonna drink?
Hey, you need me to carry you to the car?
I'm looking at my top. It matches your hat, but I looked at what I got underneath. I'm like, I'm sorry. We both just going to have to freeze, love. Yeah, that's just what's going to happen.
You need a hug, my God.
Tim's going to sit on your lap. You want warm.
This is why niggas don't want to be vulnerable.
Because y'all are too nice and caring about me now.
Snow, it's okay to be a bitch, dog.
I'm warm. I just got to rub my hands together.
There was because the only thing I had ever heard about sickle cell up until you was like T-Boss.
Yeah.
Was it Havoc or Prodigy?
Prodigy.
Oh, word. Yeah. And then there's that one. There's someone you ever seen?
You can't laugh.
No, no,
right. Said, oh, no. And don't let him just dead. Wait. Like, yeah, the one motherfucker who died.
You see the movie? What's it called with the talking teddy bear from Seth MacFarlane?
Ted.
Ted. Yeah. Have you seen Ted?
Yeah.
There's one part where they're in a sperm bank and they are fighting. And Mark Wahlberg gets knocked into a big old thing of sperm that falls on him, and it's marked sickle cells, like donors. Okay, and Ted is like, oh, he's got covered in black guy sperm.
Oh, God. I do not remember that.
I had to have missed that.
You don't know?
I do not remember that. Maybe he made that shit.
No, okay, maybe it was part two.
I do not remember that.
We gotta find this clip now. Oh,
yeah, bro.
Yo, Seth MacFarlane is fucking racist and hilarious. Yeah.
Does that piss you off?
The funniest races out there.
He's one of the funniest races out there, bro.
Yeah, yeah, because I remember. Because
he knows all the fucking stereotypes.
And I saw it, I was like, oh my God.
Sheesh. Damn, the details, bro.
It's all about the details.
I gotta watch it again now.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not sure if it was one or two.
Listen, if Seth MacFarlane is bringing awareness to sickle cell, I'm with that. Go ahead.
Send him a letter. You're like, thank you so much.
Yeah, like, go ahead. Put it, you know, make it bigger next time so we can actually read it.
Well, that's why I brought that up is because I felt like it was such a specific joke, right?
Yeah, right.
As for a disease that I had rarely heard about growing up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, okay, aside from that and T-Boss and Jay Snow, that's really all I heard about it.
But see, that's the thing. And that's what I'm here to change, man. It's like sickle cell currently sits at the butt of the joke right now. You know what I'm saying? But like motherfuckers with sickle cell can do real dope shit. And there's a lot of famous celebrities and athletes with sickle cell that don't talk about it, which is why the shit remains the butt of the joke.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like, let me show you. Let me show you exactly what motherfuckers with sickle cell can do and still, you know, keep up with other motherfuckers who don't got it in.
Right.
Right.
Push through all this shit. And also teach you things about, like, I can't tell you how much wisdom I've gained just dealing with this illness. It's put me in so many situations where I, like, had to figure shit out by myself. And, like, my life depended on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that comes with wisdom.
Right.
And information and just an ability to navigate emotions, anxiety, depression, and loneliness, or whatever the fuck you have it, right? Like, that's information that I could help spread to people who are dealing with the same thing and not necessarily knowing how to navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the gift that sickle cell, I feel like, gave me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Just a different perspective and a way to approach situations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm trying to deliver with The Truth Saves Time. And Flawed, and everything else that I get to create from this point on. You know what I'm saying?
When does the album drop?
August 23rd.
Okay, for sure. We'll make sure and get this out before that.
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
It feels like it gives you more of a reason to continue to create, right?
Yeah.
Getting the message on as many different platforms as possible in different ways, because not everyone may receive, you know, what you're trying to say in a song, but they are visual and they pick up on what you're trying to get across through that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I don't just talk about that. You know, I talk about family shit, relationship shit.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't
having sex with my
up,
neighbor. You know what I'm saying? A whole bunch of shit.
You know, I wanted to talk about that. So on the album, he has like audio clips of his actual stand up, and there's one joke about smashing your neighbor.
Right? Can you tell it?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Okay, so I had sex with my neighbor, and like I didn't know she had a man.
Mm. Okay.
But like I saw her like twice. Mm-hmm. I had a glimpse of her in the hallway at one point, and then I think I saw her like leave her car to get in the elevator as I was pulling out the driveway, and I was like, yo, I gotta say something to this girl. She's too crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And she was bad. And like the bit goes, it's like, I only get bad bitches when they like in distress. You know? I feel like bad bitches come to me to find their worth. You know, I'm like Kelly Blue Book for these bad bitches. You know? And so we had a lot in common, and we hung out, and it was weird that she had told me this shit, and I was like, I don't know, could I do this? Could I not? Mm. You know? And then eventually it just like sort of ended, and that was that. It was like one or two interactions or whatever.
Mm.
But like I had left a note on her car because I had tickets to this concert.
Oh, you left a note on the car?
I know. I didn't know where she stayed, and I didn't want to try to knock on every door to figure the shit out. So I was like, let me leave a note on her car, and it wasn't a creepy note because I had tickets to a show. I had tickets to a show that was happening at the Forum. And it was a dope-ass show, too. And I was like, yo, I got two tickets to this show. I would love to take you if you're available. let me know, left my number, right? And so she texts me, and she was like, yeah, I'm down, blah, blah, blah. We go to the show, we laugh, we dance, we sing, we have a great time, and then we get to talking that shit, and we hook up, and then she's like, yeah, I'm with a, you know, I'm with someone.
She told you after.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel like you weren't good?
No.
No, no.
Like she, after the fact.
I don't know, bro. I can't fucking tell. I knew it wasn't going to last. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't even caring, really. I got what I wanted, but like.
The truth would have saved you some time.
The truth would have saved me time. You know what I'm saying? And so it was just a fun experience. I was like, oh, I get to be like, ain't shit for a good episode. You know, I get to have a good story.
You know what I'm saying? Are you really the ain't shit one, though?
No.
I mean, you were single.
Yeah, it wasn't me. It wasn't me.
It was her. She wasn't
shit.
She
was the ain't shit.
Yeah. She was definitely the ain't shit.
But if you fucked a girl with the boyfriend knowing that she had a boyfriend, you a little bit ain't shit.
You're a little shitty.
But just a little bit.
Just a little shitty.
Just a little bit. I still say do it. But
yeah, right.
I mean, yeah. When I was single, I had no issue with that.
It comes back though. The karma's a motherfucker.
Listen, if a girl goes down on you and is like, "Hey, before we do this," after you already started, she's like, "Hey, before we, you know, go further, I have a boyfriend." You're not gonna be like, "Give me my dick back."
Yeah.
You know?
How dare you?
How dare you?
And Andre 3000 said, "A little head doesn't count." So, and Andre 3000 is Andre 3000. Hello.
You walk around with a flute.
He walks on the flute. Come on, the man is a genius.
He is a genius. Right. I do love him.
Man.
I like that.
Well, my dude, I appreciate you so much.
Hey, I appreciate y'all.
I think you're a genius, and I love what you stand for, and I love what you're doing. And let's get some food again.
Let's get some food again, guys.
And hopefully you remember it this time.
You know what? Yeah. I get a lot of food.
Yeah.
I do it like 3 times a day.
So you get a lot of food? I know a lot of blacks.
I mean, eat a lot of chicken?
It's all true.
I spend a lot of time in Compton.
Not so much anymore, but, you know. But, yeah. One more time, just so people know, where can they find you? Where can they find your movie and your special and all that?
Right. Yeah. So The Truth Saves Time drops August 23rd. Look out for it on my Instagram, at jsnowpro, my website, jsnowpro.com. And if you want to see Flaw, the film about sickle cell that I'm talking about, you can check that out on everybodygotflaws.com. And, yeah.
For sure. Thank you, Jay Snow.
Thank you.
Thank y'all once again for watching. Hope you enjoyed this episode of No Chaser. Make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, rate it, and share.
Tag us in your favorite clips. Don't forget, we want to see what you love.
All that.
All of that.
Yeah. I'm Tim Chandler Bronson.
I'm Ricky Shepard.
I'm Nikki
Turn the heat on.
Turn the heat on. Bye.
Bye.